This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is time, everybody. Time for our player spotlight here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. A pleasure to bring to the program. Maybe the first time. I don't know, Dave, if we've had a chance to speak with this man, but it's a pleasure to speak to him now. He's with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. He is Hawk Center Kyle Fuller here. Kyle, how are you, man?
Good. How's it going?
Good. I'm pretty sure if we had spoken before, you certainly would have remembered it, because this is the top of the media mountain right here.
You're going to blow up after this interview, Kyle.
This is life-changing stuff, Kyle. I just want you to be ready for that.
Good to know.
Hey, give us a sense of the mood, you know, after the game. In years past, obviously, pre-pandemic, we were, as reporters, allowed to go into the locker room, and we get a vibe of what's happening. That hasn't been the case last year or this season. So after a game like that where, you know, things were really going well and then they certainly took a turn, what was that locker room like after the game?
Right. We obviously know that we just have to come in here, you know, and basically own up to our mistakes, be accountable for the things that we did wrong, and make corrections where they need to and move on to the next week, you know. It's just a never-ending process, so – you know, you can't get too down about things like this.
Hey, Kyle, it was kind of interesting where, you know, there was a lot of, like, injuries and guys that you didn't have a lot of film on, that defense, you know, and then their linebacker, Jayon Brown, he's inactive on game day. It seemed like a lot of were you familiar with the guys that you were playing against, or was there just not a lot of film on them?
Yeah, we had plenty of study this week, just kind of know their structure, you know, who's going to be where, you know, so we had enough preparation during the week to essentially handle the things that we saw yesterday.
How's it been for you? I mean, this is, you know, there was a battle at the center position, Ethan Posick and yourself going back and forth, and obviously he's dealing with an injury, but just as far as you getting acclimated, being the man that's going to be out there, knowing you're going to get the start, what's that like?
Yeah, it was just It's good competition, you know, that's the theme of this program, you know, so definitely was expecting it coming into this year. You know, it's been good for me, you know, and just every day I just want to continue to improve and do my job.
Well, Kyle, it's got to be, I mean, even though it was a loss and everything, you played 54 snaps, which was 100% of the snaps. That's got to feel really good for you in the NFL, and because I know that you've had some injuries in the past, but man, you look great, and must have been a nice accomplishment to play in 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always this is a game where you never know, it could happen any play. You know, so you obviously want to just make sure you don't take those snaps for granted. You know, and that's exactly how I'm gonna treat it.
You said you talked about correcting mistakes and things like that, and I know you guys haven't had your official sit down and breaking down the film, but did you get a chance to watch it at all after the game last night?
Not too much, but you know, we're going to go over all that today. So,
is there anything that stands out just from memory, just being out there, where you feel like, man, I've got to do this better, or we've got to do this better, or we shouldn't have done that? Anything when you talk about mistakes, what stood out to you in that game?
Yeah, I mean, we just collectively have to minimize our mistakes, obviously penalties, things like that. You know, I feel like, you know, there's just a lot of things that we just need to go over and just get corrected tomorrow or today, you know, so.
Kyle, how was it playing in front of the fans there with all the 12s in there? It sounded like it was pretty loud down there.
Yeah, it was great, man. You know, the 12s. 12s are, you know, in full effect, you know, and they definitely are a factor in our game. So, you know, it was exciting to see.
Hey, I know you're probably on the sideline when this is happening, but when you see, you brought up penalties, and yeah, some of them are certainly self-inflicted and that has to be corrected. But when you see a penalty like the one that was thrown on DJ Reed out there, do you just shake your head? I mean, I understand rules and safety and all of that, but it almost feels like, you know, we're trying to just suck the human nature out of this game, take the emotion out of this game. It was one of those penalties where you're like, come on, man, this is headed the wrong direction. Did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not a big fan of, you know, how they called that penalty. However, you know, that's just what they're being told to do, you know, so there's not much that I can control with that. But, yeah, I mean, you still want to have passion when you're out there, you know, so the taunting stuff, you know, that's kind of got to, I don't know. they got to figure that one out. I don't know, man.
Is that something the coaches bring up to you pregame? Like, hey, make sure you guys are keeping yourselves under control out there. Or, hey, they're really calling everything. Or is that something that you just kind of have to figure out as the season goes along? Say, like, oh wow, they're very sensitive to all this.
Yeah, you just kind of have to figure that out. You know, coaches obviously are giving us, you know, the awareness that we need to see that, you know, to see other examples of it. So, you know, we just kind of have to, like I said, this is just one of those things we have to correct. So.
Did you ever think, Kyle, that you would go out on a football field and have to worry about hurting the other players' feelings?
Nah, definitely not. Things have definitely changed.
Yeah, well, do you do any kind of – are you a talker on the field? Or, you know, usually the big guys are, you know, typically don't, but what about you on the field? What's your demeanor like?
Nah, I wouldn't say I'm – much of a talker to the other team. I talk to my guys, you know, those are the guys who matter to me. So I don't really engage too much with the other guys.
That's a good policy. Yeah.
Yeah. You won't get any flags that way for taunting. That's good.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, we've talked to our buddy Ray Roberts who played O-line in this league for a number of years. And he always talked about just the value to a center of having really good guards on either side of you. Whether you're a young guy or you're getting thrown in because somebody got whatever the situation is. But just, I know it's only been a couple of games, but just give a thought on having Gabe Jackson on one side of you and Damian Lewis on the other.
Man, those guys are amazing. That's all I can say. You know, they're strong, powerful guys, smart. They know the game, you know, and it's really just it's encouraging, you know, seeing these guys work every day. You know, it's obviously my job to make sure we're all headed the right direction, but it's definitely, you know, it's fun. It's fun playing next to those guys.
Kyle, what's the hardest thing about your job? I remember we talked to Justin Britt, and he said, yeah, sometimes you're doing so much you forget the snap count. But as far as, you know, you got a lot to do up there. What's the most difficult thing?
You know, JB, Justin was not far off with that. It is a lot of processing. You do have to see everything. You have to take a lot of things into consideration, and you kind of call it how you see it. But I would say just, you know, making sure that everybody's, you know, on the same page is definitely something that, you know, you have to work out every single play. You can't take a play off with that. Even the smallest little details, communication, things like that. That's definitely, you know, that's what makes the job, you know, so I guess rewarding in the long run.
You know, we saw, you know, Tannehill and those guys scrambling around trying to communicate with each other when the volume was seemed like it was just going people going bananas there. You had a chance to experience that in week one in Indianapolis, just for an offensive lineman, and especially somebody like you where you're calling out protections. You've certainly got to communicate. What is that like? How tough is that?
Yeah, it's extremely tough, especially on the road. You know, crowds loud. But that's the time that, you know, communication has to be clear. You have to tune out the noise. You know, everybody has to, you know, basically be on the same page. You know, if you can't hear, you know, if you don't know the play, you need to, you know, ask what it is. You know, that's the time where over communication is a good thing, you know. So it's definitely something that, like I was saying earlier, you definitely have to consistently work at it and practice, you know, that way when it comes in game, you know, you're able to take care of it and handle it how you're supposed to.
Hey, Kyle, you guys are a pretty tight group, but usually offensive linemen are. And I know with the pandemic and, you know, there's kind of restrictions of getting together and stuff, but are you guys a tight group? Tell us about that that O-line room.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of different personalities, but everybody works very well together. You know, everybody gets along very well together. Offensive line, always the tightest group, just because you're playing together, you know, every snap. You know, you have to know who the guy is next to you. So, you know, it's been fun, obviously, getting to know these guys, you know, even better with some of the guys that I've been around for a little bit. But, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's fun.
Is Dwayne Brown like the Buddha out there? He's the one full of wisdom and experience and you know, just letting you guys know what you're in store for and giving you the calming words. Is that sort of his role?
Yeah, definitely. Dwayne definitely, you know, he's the – guy we listen to. You know, you need to refocus. You know, he's a great leader. You know, so it's just it's encouraging. You know, hearing some of the things he has to say out there. So,
well, the other thing too is he may be sneaky funny, because I remember Mike Iupati last year when all we had to do was mention Dwayne Brown's name and he would start laughing. Is he? Quiet. He seems like a quiet, serious guy on the surface, but it sounds like from talking to everybody that he's really funny behind the scenes.
He definitely has his moments, that's for sure. So Mike laughed at everything, so that's probably why it was like that.
Okay. He was just full of joy.
Laugh too.
Yeah, Mike was laughing at everything. So
hey, Kyle, we had a chance to talk to Damian Lewis, and I asked him this, and I'm curious because fans, we take games like this really hard, and we hang on to them and stew over them for a week, and, you know, the next weekend can't come soon enough. But for a player, I'm assuming maybe that's the immediate aftermath, and then you're on to the next opponent, or how long does a game like this sit with you?
Yeah, well, personally, I hate losing, you know, so, you know, it takes me a little bit to get over it, but I definitely, you know, just try to process the things that, you know, I could have done better individually before, you know, I look at the big picture. And it's one of those deals where you just kind of have to take it and you have to go on, because we have another opponent this week, you know, so we can't dwell on it for too long. We have to prepare for them just like we were prepared for anybody else, you know, at a high level. So, you know, today is the day that you kind of, you know, go through the mistakes, get the corrections done, and then you have to clear it and you have to move on to the next opponent. So that's just the way this business, excuse me.
Kyle, we appreciate you taking the time. I know it's not the result anybody wanted, but the beauty is you've got 15 more games to worry about. So things can turn around really quickly, and hopefully it starts next weekend. Thanks so much for taking time with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. There's Kyle Fuller. Our pleasure to speak with him, guy who's gotten thrown in there, Ethan Posick dealing with an injury, and Kyle Fuller playing well by everybody's estimation. So good to talk to him. We'll talk to Damian Lewis tomorrow, so we get a couple of guys on this O-line who, I don't know, how would you say they played? I felt like the pass blocking was pretty solid for the most part. The run blocking in both games, I didn't think it's been great. And I thought Carson did a lot on his own in that Colts game. And then this game, he didn't have a ton of, he had 13 carries. They had 18 as a team combined, but there just wasn't much there. I don't think their run blocking was very good at all.
I agree. And they couldn't move the D line off. And you know, look, couldn't get them off the line of scrimmage. This was a pretty banged up defensive line. You know, it was funny. I was going through with, Mike Keith, the guy we had on last week. I mentioned this earlier, but he's the play-by-play guy for the Titans, and he's coming over into the booth and saying, hey, yeah, this guy's out, and this guy's going to be in here, and this guy's out, and this guy's out. And I'm like, man, their leading tackler, one of their young pass rushers. They've got a bunch of new guys on this defense, and just their front seven. I thought that they were going to be able to, you know, to move these guys off the line, and they really didn't. You know, the other thing you mentioned last week too, right, about the run blocking?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that was all on Chris Carson. I mean, he was getting, you know, he was getting contact at 1-2 yards and then getting lots of yards after contact. By the way, I think I mentioned it earlier, 59 yards is the new number. 58, 59 yards to get 1,000 in the NFL.
In a 17-game season.
17-game season. Used to be 62-5. So, you know, and I think he's still on pace for that because he had 91 yards the first week. But and then what did he have, 31 yesterday, so close enough. But anyway, I'm not going to do the radio math there anymore, Bob. I'm done. But, yeah, I mean, that was disappointing me. I really wanted to see them get the run game going, and I thought, you know, those guys love that stuff. I mean, they ran for 212. We ran for 77. You put that number up right there, and I'll tell you who's going to win the game. You know, and same thing, time of possession, you wonder why. Time of possession was 40-20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that right there. So that's part of it, man. I agree with you. I think that the run blocking could be better.
We haven't discussed this, but we've had people texting about it, this specific player. We've talked about a play that he was involved in.
Okay.
Trey Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel he played yesterday?
It was fine. I mean, you know, one of the routes that was caught across the middle was on the linebacker. And I can't remember if it was Jordan or Bobby that didn't get underneath that route. He's playing outside. He's expecting help on the inside. But then the long catch to Julio Jones, you know, and it was the same thing. Who covered him and he caught it right after that? I think it was Bobby Wagner. I think it went Trey, then Bobby Wagner. I'm trying to remember if this is first quarter or second quarter. But Julio Jones caught both of the passes. And I said, Trey did everything except keep him from catching the ball because he had coverage. Like he was in a good spot and he just wasn't able to do it. Same thing with Bobby. I think he was right with him. He had turned, he reached with the right arm, everything, and just didn't quite get there. So, you know, it's more difficult certainly for Bobby than it is for Trey. But yeah, I mean, there was that. I think you're going up against really good receivers. They're going to make some completions. And with a good quarterback. So, and I wouldn't say he's great, but Tannehill's a very good quarterback. He's like below, yeah. You know, like he's probably 10 to 20 in
yeah,
the NFL.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was fine. I thought it was fine. I didn't think he lost the game for us. To me, the game was lost at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I felt like they were picking on him. There were a lot of passes being thrown his way.
Well, who was he covering?
Well, he was covering
A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
And I thought Brown did not play a very good game. I don't know. It felt like he had a number of balls bounce off his hands.
He had 9 targets and only 3 catches.
Yeah, and I can think of at least 3 that bounced off his hands. He didn't seem to have a good day.
Well, and one of them I thought was because he thought Diggs was going to kill him.
He got alligator arms going across. Yeah, and then the one, I don't know, should he have caught the one that D.J. Reed got the taunting penalty on?
Yeah.
He dove, hit him in the – that Reed didn't make the play on that ball, though. He didn't swat the ball away, even though he got up and celebrated. I don't know if that's a Seahawks receiver or are we going, yeah, man, you got to catch that ball.
I think he would
have
said –
it was a tough catch.
It was going to be a spectacular catch.
Yeah, but it just seemed like overall he did not have a real representative day out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trey was a guy that, you know, we've talked about it before, incredibly polarizing. He's an immediate – the second somebody – there's a completion from the opposition, and he's the guy that makes the tackle. He stinks.
Yep.
He stinks. Are we done with it? And we saw it today on the text, and I'm not by any stretch trying to make the case he's a Pro Bowler and you guys don't know what you're looking at. No, I think they were picking on him yesterday. I think they were. I thought a lot of the action was going to his side of the field, and he, you know, he made a couple of plays. Some he didn't. Some were getting mad at him for the tackle he didn't make on Henry, that play we were looking at with Jamal Adams, trying to figure out, all right, who made the mistake here? Was that Adams? Should he have not gone through the gap that you were pointing out? And you pointed out, hey, the whole D-line got washed to the left here, but that wasn't the wrong gap, so to speak. It is Derrick Henry. You know,
he's the cutback guy. He's got to be that guy.
Who's that? Trey?
Trey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, and he's a good tackler. So, yeah, I guess I would put that technically on him. But, you know, it's never just that. You know, it's like when you fail or succeed, you know, we always talk about when a guy makes a play, but look at what this guy did. Look at this guy take on this block so he could make the play. It's the same thing on the fail side, is that there's lots of people that are making mistakes. But that made it incredibly difficult for Trey to make that open field tackle when the entire D-line got washed down. It looked like everybody was on the other side of the hash mark by the time he cut it back. So... And then, you know, with a lot of times with, you know, with those run blitzes, and that basically is what that was. I mean, it ended up being a run. Maybe you thought it was going to be a pass, but the blitz where Jamal Adams, sometimes you'll pull out of that if you see that, like, it's a run to the other side and you're on the backside. So, you know, maybe that is a rule that we didn't see. There's lots of things you don't know, but I wouldn't say that, you know, some people were saying – or speculating that Jamal Adams just did that on his own.
He's got carte blanche. He can just freelance whenever he wants. Yeah. And, hey, guys, I'm going to go ahead and just abandon what my normal responsibility is and just blitz here.
Yeah,
wherever I can find a spot.
Right. You can't do that.
Might be an opening over there. I'm going to run to this side and just try to run from here.
So there's 10 guys that have responsibilities and everything.
Not him.
And then one guy that just does whatever he wants.
Yeah, you've read the text. I saw it on Twitter. You know, this guy just is on his own. He just does whatever he wants. And, you know, they've got to rein him in. I'm thinking, he's part of a defensive scheme in which everybody's got a responsibility. Now, does that mean he's always making the right play? No, maybe he does abandon his responsibility. Maybe he did. But they're not just saying, Jamal, do whatever you want. We'll make up for it. You know, you don't have to let anybody know what's going on. Just do whatever you feel. How are you feeling at that moment?
Yeah, I'd be very shocked if that was the case. So, but yeah, you just can't have that on your defense. And I would say this, you know, look, I've said it a million times that you can screw up in high school and college, and typically they won't find it. In the NFL, they always find it. So, I mean, if you have one guy that's out of place, mention the Barry Sanders as we're watching Detroit play right now and go right down the field and score, by the way. We didn't even have to play this game.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Clayton says it's a foregone conclusion.
Ah, the Packers are just letting the Lions have a false sense of security. Yeah. They're just building them up just so they can tear them down.
Your boy Jared Goff just threw a touchdown, Bob.
He threw a big play before that, too.
Why didn't you go, wait, why is he my boy?
I'll take him, whatever.
That's what Jacob Green used to always say. If somebody was a screw, like if Boz would do something, he'd be, that's your boy.
You've got ownership.
Yeah,
you've got to take responsibility for what this guy does. Yeah, listen, it's a frustrating game. Hopefully it much like the Titans first week against the Cardinals. I'm guessing the conversations were similar out there, like, whoa, what did we just watch? What the heck happened out here?
Yeah.
And maybe it forces a different level of focus. I don't know what happened specifically in this game that caused it to go the way that it did. We can look at the yards allowed. We can look at points not scored in the second half and say, well, there's the problem. Well, why was it the problem, though?
Let's just hope that it's a learning experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got the Mariners coming up. Mariners won their series over the weekend, by the way, and we'll see what they can get done against the A's. I want to thank our guests today, John Clayton, Michael Bumpus, and Kyle Fuller, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of that, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, click on that. It'll be right there. We're back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.